It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our last study of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we left off with verse 7. It says there, "For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities." That means it amounts to nothing. "But fear thou God." Now I want to look at that just for a moment, if we might. I believe that when we fear God, certain things take place, and we are to do it in a certain manner. In Psalm 115, verse 11, we are to trust God completely, according to that verse. It says, "Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." God is our help and our shield when we fear Him. And secondly, we need to experience God's forgiveness in reality. In Psalm 130 and verse 4, it says, "But there is forgiveness with thee," speaking of God, "that thou mayest be feared." I'm not talking about being feared that He's going to step on you with His foot and crush you. This is not the type of fear that's spoken of here. It's a reverential fear of knowing who God is and trusting Him. And that takes place, preceding the moment that we get saved. There is a reverential fear that takes place. It's not that God's going to kill us or do something harmful to us, that the reason we get saved. It's because He loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for us, that we could be saved. We reverentially fear Him because He's the Creator. He's the one who made everything, and He's the one who keeps everything going. He keeps this world turning. He keeps the stars, the moon, the planets, and everything that we know of. He keeps those things in their places, and we need to reverentially fear Him, not once again that He's going to step on us or kill us, but that we know who He is, and we reverentially fear God because of who He is. In Psalm 112 and verse 1, it talks about delighting in God's Word. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments." When we fear the Lord reverentially, that sets the stage, if you would, for us to come to Him, faith believing that He's able to save us. Because why? He is God. He is the one who can save for eternity. No one else can do that. And then we notice in Psalm 119, verse 63, this goes beyond delighting in God's Word here. We are to obey it. Psalm 119, verse 63 says, "I am a companion of all them that fear Thee," speaking of those who fear God, "and of them that keep Thy precepts." Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." We're to do what God says. And this is really what man is supposed to do. Man is supposed to fear God and to do what God says for us to do. In Proverbs 8:13, it talks about hating evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate, God says there. And then we see that we're to steadfastly hope in God's loyal love. In Psalm 147, verse 11, it says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, and those that hope in His mercy." And the second of these six elements that I've just read identifies true believers. Number two says, experience God's forgiveness in reality. "But there is forgiveness," it says in Psalm 130 and verse 4, "with thee, that thou mayest be feared." We need to fear God out of love. We need to love Him. He first loved us, and we need to love Him because of this. He first loved us. He sent His Son to die on the cross for us, and we must trust Him as our Savior in order to go to heaven. That's God's love, that He first loved us and He sent His Son to die for us on the cross. And Jesus died for us. Love Jesus. Know that He can save you, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's the reason we study through the Scriptures on this program. And during these studies is because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't come from my words. It comes from the Word of God. And I trust today that you do know Him as your Savior. If not, you need to bow where you're at. And you can bow without even closing your eyes. If you're driving in your car, it's simply saying, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. Lord, I know You love me so much that You sent Christ to die for me. I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge that I'm wrong. And I acknowledge that you're right, that I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ as my Savior. I need to ask Him to come into my heart, and I'm doing that right now as the best that I know how. If you'll pray something like that and mean it in your heart, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call upon the name of the Lord, right where you're at, you don't have to do it audibly. You do it from your innermost being and say, God, forgive me, a sinner. I want to be saved right now. If you'll do that, God says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Ask Him to save you right now, and God will save you. Well, I want to move on here now in chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9. As we look at these verses, we see the injustice of men. In verse 8, in the first part of that verse, and we're going to read the whole verse here, it says, if thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. That's the first part of verse 8. In other words, don't marvel at oppression. It's going to happen. Oppression happens in this life. When you see the oppression of the poor, don't be amazed. It's going to happen. And then when you see violent perversion of injustice and righteousness, don't be ashamed. Don't be amazed at the oppression of the poor, and don't be amazed at the violent perversion of justice and righteousness. That happens as well. In verse 8 and verse 9, the rest of that verse, in verse 9 it says, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Verse 9 says, moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. And I believe what the rest of verse 8 is saying and verse 9 is saying, everyone is accountable. We are accountable. And high officials must answer to the even higher officials, according to verse 8. Well, who are the higher officials? Romans chapter 13 and verse 1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And the highest power, of course, is God. But we're to do what God has set up. He has set up human government, and He has, as such, we are to give, I don't want to say homage, I'm saying that we are accountable. We don't bow down to the government, but we're accountable to those who have rule over us as a policeman and so forth. We're not to break the law. Civil government was ordained of God. There would be chaos if that wasn't the fact. As we look on here, as the Lord, or as the benefit or the profit of the land is for all, even the king is provided for and served by the field. Everybody eats the same. Everybody gets their food from the same place. It comes from the field. And contrary to popular belief, it doesn't start in the grocery store. It starts in the field. Somebody has to raise or has to, harvest and plant and bring forth those things that go in cans in the store and whatever else, but everything comes from God. And everybody eats the same. People have to depend upon the Lord. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, it says, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So don't marvel that people pervert justice and judgment, and don't marvel that there's oppression of the poor. Don't marvel that, and don't be ashamed of the violent perversion of justice and righteousness. Remember, everybody's the same, and as long as mankind is here until Jesus comes back, we're going to see problems in this world. But there's one way that we can ease those problems in our Christian life, or in our life, is to receive Christ as Savior. And as the Christian, we need to trust the Lord. Just as we trusted Him to save us, we need to trust Him with our everyday life, the things that go on in our lives. Well, as we look on now in chapter 5, in verses 10 through 17, especially in verses 10 through 12, but as we look at verses 10 through 17, we see the vanity of riches. And then in verses 10 through 12, it tells us something. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There's so much in those verses that I just read. I want you to notice that in those verses, riches do not satisfy. In verse 10, it talks about he who loves silver and riches will not be satisfied with increase. They want more and more. Now, as a person gets more and more wealth, the appetite for more grows. They're never satisfied. The only profit or satisfaction the greedy person gets is to look at what they have. Now, I've collected a few old coins in my time, and I have a few old coins. And do you know what pleasure I get out of those? I don't take them to the store and spend them. I don't do this or that with them. What I do with them, every now and then, I'll get them out and look at them. Well, that's primarily what it's saying here about the greedy person. Now, I don't consider myself greedy. I consider myself one who has saved an old coin just to look at. But these people, they keep getting and getting and getting, and they're never satisfied. And my old coin collection days are over with. I don't collect coins anymore, and I'm not saying if you do, you're wrong. I'm simply saying that the rich want to get richer, and they want to get more and more and more because they are greedy. Not all rich people are like that. But the person who works for what he gets sleeps well. But the person who has need of nothing does not sleep well because he worries about losing what he has or about getting more, according to verse 12. Well, as we look on now in verses 13 through 17, I'm going to read this and we'll close with this today. Riches are perishable according to these verses. It says in verse 13 down through 17, now it says, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail. And he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Join me the next time as we continue our study in the book of Ecclesiastes. Trust Jesus as your Savior, and as a saved person, live for Him today, trusting Him to take care of your life. You have just listened to Lesson 9 of Ecclesiastes. These lessons are taken directly from the Word of God, the Bible. I trust you haven't missed any lessons of our study of Ecclesiastes. Well, God told Solomon to ask for what he wanted, and Solomon asked God for wisdom. And God answered Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 12, where he told Solomon, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Let us ask God for wisdom and knowledge as we study his book, the Bible. Join me next time as we study Lesson 10 of Ecclesiastes.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.